Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Joseph Fordham and this is NPLH In Conversation With, the football podcast that isn't about football, brought to you by NPLH Studio. NPLH is more than a podcast. Once you've hit the follow button, visit nplhmag.com to enjoy online reads, subscribe to our newsletter and browse our collection of magazines, prints and apparel. On to the show. Hello, I'm Joe Fordham and you're listening to NPLH. This time I'm in conversation with designer Ryan Arambula. Ryan talks us through his playing days with Charleston Battery and how the physical impact of the game closed the door on a USL career, but a love of design opened up the game to him in a way he hadn't imagined. A phone call took him from Myrtle Beach to Venice Beach, and he soon found himself at the epicentre of a West Coast cultural movement where his two passions, football and design, could play out together on VBFC's Concrete Paradise. Opportunities followed, one in the form of Kylian Mbappe, and he was on the move again, this time to Portland and Nike's global headquarters. Only in America, they say. But more than being in the right place at the right time, risks need to be taken when opportunity knocks, and Ryan's not afraid of taking them. There's plenty of great stuff in this conversation, and it's worth it just to listen to his South Carolinian drawl alone. Before we start, a quick reminder that NPLH is more than a podcast. Visit nplhmag.com where you can enjoy online reads, subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and browse our ever-growing collection of magazines, prints, and apparel. NPLH is an independent, ad-free platform, and your support in whatever form keeps us playing. Enjoy the episode.
Joe.
Yes, mate. How you doing?
Sorry. I just got a new Wi-Fi. And I'm literally on my phone hotspot, and it works better than my Wi-Fi.
Oh, wow, mate. Times are hard when that's the case.
Yeah. I know.
Excuse the dramatic lighting, but we've just hit British winter time. So for the last sort of 30 minutes, it's been dark.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not well prepared. So I'm lit by this kind of moody little lamp, and it looks like you're backlit by the morning California sun.
Oh, dude, I got the mood lamps as well. I feel you. I feel like we're probably in a very similar environment right now. It's like, because I'm in Portland, so it's like gray and dreary, and the sun comes out every now and then, but it's rain season, so we're preparing for it.
Is that a massive adjustment to where you're from? Like, you're from further south, I take it, yeah?
Yeah. I was in LA before this, so you can imagine it was a lot sunnier. And then I'm from South Carolina, so it's usually pretty sunny year round. The winter time's not that bad either.
Yeah, so you're a fish out of water a little bit up in Portland.
A little bit. Yeah. It's like, what they say is it makes you work harder. So you're like indoors more and you can just like, just stay inside and work. And you're like, okay, well, I guess that's okay. But summertime here, I will say, summertime here is really, really nice. It's probably like the best summer weather I've ever experienced. But it lasts like 3 to 4 months though. So it's like the rest is 8 months of gray.
Yeah. So they make you work for your summer. It sounds like what we get here. We take what we get, right? That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, first of all, thanks for sparing some time to chat. I've been following you for a few years now, maybe like four-ish when I first came across VBFC and all the guys there. And then I guess without realizing though, you'd kind of disappeared pretty much from social media, which means you've been out there living your life, so that's good. that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But then you came up in conversation the other day. I was chatting with Tim, who you'll know really well, and it just brought your name back into the forefront, basically. I remember seeing you a lot in the content they were putting out and all that. And then he thought that this would be a great fit, and it made sense straight away. Yeah, I guess from what I gather, I mean, you've just mentioned you're from South Carolina, which I think links you to Devin. And And there's more ways that this kind of blows out. So I guess this is just a good opportunity for me to get to know a bit more about the guy that I used to just see pictures of playing football on Muscle Beach and where you are now.
I guess this is kind of like a big moment. I'm like, I've been hiding on social media and now here I am.
Yeah, we found you, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I've been working, you know. Where am I now? Like, I just finished up a contract at Nike. So I spent the last year and a half here working at Nike World Headquarters. And before this, I was back in Venice, doing work with the VBFC guys. So we're all friends, like Devin and I, like we grew up playing soccer together when we were like probably 12 years old, like U13. We started playing and then we played together all through high school on our academy team. And then we went to college together at the University of South Carolina. We both played there. So like after graduation, Devin went like straight out to LA, and I went and I tried to keep playing for a little bit more. I played at the local USL team, Charleston Battery, for 2 years.
That's a really nicely located pitch, right?
Oh, dude, it was so nice.
Yeah.
They have an even better setup now. But the original stadium was called Blackbaud Stadium, and it was like historic. The club had been there for like over 25 years, I think. One of the oldest clubs in the U.S. actually. But it was kind of like hidden and like a place of Charleston that's like kind of tucked away. But now they're like right on the water, like right under the bridge in Charleston, in Patriots Point. So it's pretty cool. And I think they're doing well. I haven't kept up with it since I've been gone, but yeah, like it looks pretty cool. It's different ownership and everything, but I was stoked to go there because that was like growing up, that was like our home, like pro team, you know. You don't really, it's the only one in South Carolina, and I was from Myrtle Beach. So like that was a 2 hour drive about to get there. And like, that's where I would train. So it was a lot of traveling, but like, it was really cool because I got to kind of go full circle and like play at like the club that I grew up watching and stuff. But yeah, so that was super fun. And like Devin was in LA and I just finished a season and I'd like been coming off of a bunch of injuries and stuff. And I was kind of considering like, oh, do I keep playing or like, is it time to do something else? And, so I like considered that. And then Devin like hit me up and was like, yo, like there's like, he's always like throwing work at me and stuff. And like, I appreciate him for that. He's always like, I think his like grand plan is just like to get all of his friends in LA and like, we'll all just be there like hanging out. So he's always got a plan, but, so he's like, yo, like my friend who owns an agency, like is opening a design position. You should like apply for it. So I was okay. I actually like at this point I was okay. I'm gonna hang the boots because like I've been injured for so long and like it's like really taxing on like my free time and like what I want to do. So I like started working at this like small print shop and I went on my lunch break and I called these people and or they called me or whatever and they're like, oh yeah, we'd love to for you to come in, but we need you to like be here. And I was like, okay. And then I told them, I was like, yeah, dude, like I'm in South Carolina, they're in LA. Like, he's like, no, just tell him like you got like a flight. And I was just like, really? And I was like, all right. So I called him back and I was like, hey, yeah. Like I'll be there. Can you do Monday? And they're like, oh, well, we're not sure. And I was like, oh, well, I just like bought a ticket. So then they called me back and they're like, all right, yeah, we can do Monday. And I was like, okay. And like, that's when like everything really changed. Like I went and like crashed with Devin on his couch and I went in for the interview and I got it. And then, yeah, like I was in LA for like the next 4 years. And from there, like a week later, I met Tim and Dylan. And that's like, I still remember like when we all met, it was at that first apartment that Devin got. And like, it was just like cool. Like I instantly, like I was just like fully like dove into the soccer scene in LA. Like Devin was shooting for LAFC, and like Addy and like, and they were of course like growing a lot, in the community and like in Venice and LA in general. So it was really cool. Like a week later, I look and like I'm at a Nike event in the Bank of California Stadium, all kitted up in like Nike gear, fresh boots, like all this new stuff. And I like look up, I'm just like, this is crazy. Like I was like, how did I end up here? Like I just flew over here and I got a job and
straight to buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah. I should have. I didn't even think about it. I was just like loving life and. Looking back, definitely like one of the coolest moments, like
out of nothing as well, I guess, completely out of nothing.
Yeah. It was like kind of like out of thin air.
What was it like when you came to that choice, that decision to just stop playing? You had like your mind set on forging a career in USL. Was it a big disappointment?
Yeah. A bit. Yeah. Definitely. So for me, growing up, I was like the most like tunnel vision to football type of kid. Like, I mean, all throughout middle school and high school, my parents would drive me 2 hours to training, like 4 days, 4 or 5 days a week. And then on the weekends, we'd be traveling up and down the coast for games. So like that could be anywhere from like going down to Miami, 13 hours to going all the way up to Virginia. So I was like super dedicated, and it's because like I loved it so much. And yeah, like I wanted to play in MLS and everything, and just the way that worked out, like I got three injuries in college. So like I have two screws in my feet, so each in 1 foot. And then I also got a sports hernia surgery. And that just like, that kind of changes you from the way that you keep playing, and it kind of sticks with you. So you're not like as like battle proof, you know what I mean? Like you kind of like fall apart easier, or your body kind of like lets you down. And you're just like, ah, man. So, that was like a big thing. Like I just dealt with injuries a lot. And then when I made it to the Battery, I was like, okay, this is sick. Like I'm going to try to like make this be like a great career and everything. And, yeah, it was difficult for sure. Like I went in at an open trial, and I think me and six other guys made it. We were coming into like a pretty seasoned, like veteran team. So the way it goes is like, if you like don't have the experience, you probably won't really see it, the pitch as much. And it's just like, which like it makes sense from like a coaching standpoint, like you trust like certain players to like do the job. So yeah, like that first year was pretty tough, and then the second year I started getting more play time, and that was awesome, because like you could feel it, like everything building, and like the coaches were like, yeah, you're like really showing improvement, and like you played a great game today and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's sick. But it just put such a toll on my body every time. Like had like a really bad, because of the sports hernia, like had a really bad like groin injury like all the time. And it was just like, I could play 90 minutes and like go all in. And then it was just like the next like week, I'm like icing like 3 times a day, and it sucks. And doing rehab and all this stuff, prehab, all the things to like try to keep your body going. But you know, at some point, like your body's just like, nah, man, like you're not doing it anymore.
I guess that takes its toll, like emotionally as well, right? You just want to play football.
Yeah.
And to have to go to those lengths to get through a game.
Yeah.
I guess you're starting to wonder what the point is.
Yeah.
And sizing up other options. Maybe with that,
yeah,
like with it being
absolutely
that difficult, it maybe softens the blow of kind of walking away a bit. It's like it's out of your control, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah, that was one thing. I was like, Totally. And like, I just knew it would just be this constant, like, back and forth, like trying to get better and then re-injuring it. And I got a design degree in school. So like, I studied it and I loved it as well. And I was still doing it on the side. And I'd always like been like kind of dreaming of going to LA, going to a big city, whether it's like LA or New York. I really just like wanted to dive into the design scene at some point. So when that happened, I was just like, yeah, this is, it felt totally like natural because I had that ambition to do it. And I knew also like the cool thing that has always been there for me, like with football and stuff, is like, you can literally go anywhere in the world. And because you're so tight with it, like you can meet anyone and like connect with anybody. And also like when you're good too, it gives you a little extra validation, but like,
I don't know why I'm agreeing. I'm not that good, but I'm sure that is what it's like. Yeah.
Well, you get it. Yeah. It's like, you can kick a ball, you can play, you can stick with it. And it's just like, that's really like the most you need. And yeah, I mean, that's why I think it was still easy for me, because like, although I wasn't playing professionally, I didn't live up to like the dream that I had, it, like, I was still living football in a different way. So like, through design work, through a community like BBFC, the great thing about BBFC is like, they bring like all the best parts of football and like put it in one place. So, you know, even the setup, from the setup 4v4, you know, first to two or first goal wins or stays on, like lots of goals, lots of touches, you get to express yourself. There's a little bit of formation still that like, that matters to like staying on the court, but it's not like too intense, and it's just good vibes. And also you're like in front of the ocean. So
it's like, it's football in its purest sense, isn't it? And I guess I'm assuming that totally. Battery, and you're playing with these seasoned pros and they're, you know, grafting through a league season. A lot of that purity and enjoyment is replaced by like just a need for results. And like, what's the, like a bitterness that sets in as players have gone through their careers, and a hardness, and it's not really football anymore. It's football, yeah, but not football. And then you get to the West Coast, and then it's a ball and it's concrete and it's how you started off. And it's just it's all what comes around it, rather than like putting your life on a result at the end of the day. So you can enjoy it a lot more because you're just reverting to being a kid again, I guess. Especially with Devin there, it's like your 12-year-old boy again.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's like really well said. It's like where it all started too. It's like just kicking a ball against the wall. Like, it's that kind of feel. Like, and it just takes you back to like, yeah, like, because when you grow up, you know, with the soccer ball, you're always like, you're trying to learn new tricks. You're trying to like do a better touch, and like you're watching the pros on TV and you're like trying to emulate everything that they're doing. And it's just like, totally. I think that's why even now, like when I think of places, and I guess this kind of like connects to your podcast style, but when I think of home, I think of like back home in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and like BBFC, like the Estadio, like where we play every Sunday, like that feels like home. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Definitely special.
I guess that just reaffirms that home is a feeling and not so much an actual place, right? You're connecting with the same feeling you did as a kid, but like,
yeah,
thousands of miles apart. So you've gone from Carolina to LA, you've landed there, you've walked into a job, you've walked into a pretty sweet football setup, you forgot to buy a lottery ticket, but that's okay. How do you then end up at Nike's headquarters in Portland? Talk me through the steps there, because it seems like it just keeps getting better.
Yeah. It's, dude, like I think about it sometimes and I'm like, dude, what a crazy journey this has been already. I don't know if you know, but Mbappe came to VBFC once upon a time, which was so crazy. I was a few months in, like, living in LA at that point, and Dylan calls me, and he's like, "Hey, dude, we need you to make a jersey." And I was like, "Oh, cool." And he's like, "Yeah, it's for Mbappe." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, he's gonna be here next week." I was like, "Shut up, dude." So I was like just surviving off of freelance at the time, and I literally dropped every other project that was on my plate and like spent the entire week making like iteration on iteration on iteration of like kits for Mbappe to come. He's like, "Yeah, like you're gonna hand it to him." And I was like, "Damn, that's sick." So like we worked on it all week, and we came up with a pretty sick design, and felt like it was like, you know, connected to our community, but also kind of represented him at the same time. And yeah, it was just like such a special moment because, I mean, LA is already like a hype place, but like when you bring someone like a World Cup champion and someone like Mbappe to like come hang out with all these kids and stuff, like it's really, really special. So that project, I feel like, really is what kind of kicked everything off for me, like seriously, because then it was like, oh, like I made a kit for Mbappe, like biggest Nike athlete in football at the time, you know. It's like that generated a lot of motion and then like momentum. So then from there, it was just like always doing more design projects with the guys. Yeah, we did a bunch of stuff, and like it was on my Instagram and it was on my website. And then fast forward through the pandemic, you know, I picked up like a couple different jobs during that time to get through and everything. You just get connected to throughout the soccer creative community as well. Like the guys, you know, at VBFC, we worked with EA Sports. We know all of them, and have a good, you know, relationship with them. And, so yeah, I guess your name just kind of gets like passed around. And then I think it was, Devin's girlfriend. She like passed my, she was at Nike. She passed my info to someone else. And, yeah, then I just got a call and they're like, "Hey, like, this is so-and-so, like, we, love your work. Like, would you want to like talk to the creative director or whatever?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." You know, like, and the thing is, like, I'd been like knocking on the Nike door for a while. There were always like these like little side off like projects at Nike LA would be like, "Oh, like we need to make a design by the end of the week. Like, are you available?" And they would shoot out to like a dozen designers, and then someone else would get the job, and you're like, "Okay, whatever." So like it happened like maybe two or three times before this. So I didn't really think much of it. And I also had just started working a really cool job with like a sustainability company that did stuff with like Tom Ford and Tommy Hilfiger and stuff. And like, it was really cool. I was enjoying it. So then like Nike kind of like trickles in and they hit me up. Then the art director hits me up and he's like, "Hey, like, just, want to know if you want to talk or anything, you're available." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So then like talk with him and he's just like, "Yeah, you're like the first person on our list. And, you know, we've seen your work and it's really cool." And, obviously like they're seeing all my BBFC work. And I was like, "Sick." Yeah. The first thing he said was like, "So who do you support and why is it AC Milan?" He's a huge AC Milan fan. And I was like, "Nah, like I respect that though.
I don't want your job anymore."
Yeah. I love those guys. And it's crazy because yeah, later, you know, he became my art director for the next year and a half, going down the line. So basically we had a good conversation. We didn't talk really much about work. We were just talking about football and stuff. And like, you know, the art director of Nike Global Football. And then he's like, "Okay, well, you might get hit up later." And then the creative director, called me and we had a great conversation. It was like all about football and, she's Brazilian. So it was like really, it was just very natural and everything. I was like, "Oh, this is so cool." And then, yeah, like a few weeks later, you know, the contractor hits me up and is like, "Yeah, like they want you." I was like, "Okay, that's awesome." And he's like, "Yeah. And, one of the parts of the conversation was like, you know, this was like early 2022, and they were like, yeah, well, we're getting ready for the World Cup. And we need to start bringing a team on to deal with all that. It's like, okay, even better. Because in the past, like I had like made World Cup posters for fun and like just dreamt about like, oh, this would be so cool. You know, like do like some creative for that. And then they literally hit me up about it. And I was like, damn, that's so crazy. So then we get it all set up, and I'm in like a pretty like, and I kind of still am like, and I'm lucky that like, I'm pretty flexible right now. Like I'm happy to move anywhere that I can find work that like really inspires me and where I can learn and grow. I mean, I've always wanted to go check out Portland and Oregon and like be, you know, at Nike headquarters. So I ended up like moving up here. I started like May 2022. And like, because it was a World Cup campaign, like, first of all, when you get brought onto Nike, it's like they say like it takes you like 6 months or so to like really understand it. But that's like with like a normal campaign. And this was like an all hands, everyone in campaign of like every territory was part of it. And it was this massive thing. So like I had to like learn super fast. So then like it was like every day I would work and like I would get used to everything and try to understand the system that, you know, and the whole concept. And then I would spend like an extra few hours, like after that, just like kind of reviewing decks and stuff and being like, just to get like a really, really good sense of everything. If it had not been football, I don't know if I would have done it that intensely, but like, because it was football, because it was the World Cup, I was like, dude, and it's Nike. I was like, this is the dream, dude. Like I'm like literally, you know, 4 years ago, I was at a print shop in Myrtle Beach, and then I got a ticket to LA, and now I'm here. It's like it was sick. So like, yeah, spent all of 2022 pretty much working on this campaign, and it was huge. One of my jobs, like kind of coming in as a designer one, was really just trying to, because I had a good understanding of the players, like I could take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of images of these players that were on this poster and kind of like put them in their correct like hierarchy as far as like their relevance and how good they are and who's a star and who's up coming up and all this stuff. So I had like a pretty big part in making all those selects and like bringing them to our agency. And yeah, we made a sick poster. we made a crazy poster. There was like 100 different people on there, from athletes to community members to kids. Like it just like encompassed everybody, which was really, really neat. The best part about it was like they sent me to London after that to like work in the World Cup Reactives campaign. That was like probably one of the best experiences ever. Like I think that's like a top experience for me, because we had an incredible team that they put together, and everyone was so cool, everyone was so dialed, but also like everyone was so laid back and like just willing to like do whatever to like make the project work.
Going back to when you first got there, the way you described that was like you're beaming, you're smiling, and it's like you're still excited about the memory. Is that how it was in real time, or was there any kind of like nerves, or were you just completely like, I'm meant to be here?
Definitely a bit of both. I definitely felt like I was supposed to be there because I'd always dreamt of it and like doing that. And then when you're there and, you know, my art director was showing me around campus, and it really is a pretty special place. When you think of it, like you see everything, all these like from the old buildings that were originally there to the new ones that are like way more futuristic. It's just, you're like, dude, this is where like all of the best sports campaigns like came out of. This is where the top talent is. And yeah, like I definitely felt like I deserved to be there. And it's it was definitely really special, especially in the beginning. And it does like wear off a little bit, I'll say. Like you get kind of used to it. But yeah, I mean, it was special for sure.
So World Cup's finished. Then what? I guess because you've gone in and that's like you're just kind of getting swept away with all that. And you're finding your way in a new city, new job, but not just any city, not just any job.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said in the beginning, like it was through contract. So my contract was supposed to end after the World Cup. And it was 9 months and, you know, they sent me to London and crushed it there and like, you know, met so many people and connected with so many people. So like, pushed it like another 9 months and we worked on like a few more like boot campaigns. We have some stuff that just came out with Jamal Musiala, and we have like one more bit of creative that I got to work on that's coming out. So like my contract is technically up and I'm actually pretty like stoked to kind of be in a situation where like I can kind of be like, I have just embarked on this like amazing experience like with Nike, and now it's like I can kind of reevaluate like what it is I want to do.
It's a brave move, isn't it? I know it's Nike, and on paper I guess like you can't say no to that, but you're in LA, things are going pretty well, you got a good playing set up with the guys, you've got a job that you've found that is aligning with your values, I guess, with the Tom Ford and Tommy Hilfiger and things like that. Why change it? Maybe that's my naivety there, because what's happened is obviously an amazing thing. But maybe some people would be like, oh, that's a great opportunity, but it's a 9-month contract and I'm kind of set here at the minute. So what was it about? Is that like typical? You threw the dice, really?
Yeah, I think it's fun to do that. I feel like I can still do that. So I'm starting to get to the age where I'm like, okay, like I think maybe this is where I'll stay. But I love, honestly, it's the same spirit as like, you know, going on my lunch break and then getting, you know, talking to these guys in LA and being like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I'll buy a ticket. Like I'll be over there on Monday. And, just like been in this like mentality of I'll just go wherever the work that inspires me is at. And also work that I like can stand behind, that I really like, I can look at it and be like, I think this is great. Most people like to just get one situation and like call that home and then just grow from there. Eventually I would probably want to do that for sure. But right now, like I love just like going where I can to like experience different work situations, work on great projects.
And has this kind of solidified your position working in the football space, or are you open to going outside of that as long as it's work that you can stand behind?
Oh, I'm very open to going outside the football space. Although it's, you know, my origin and it's to me to the very core, I still enjoy like so many other things, and would be happy to work in other, I guess, industries. But I like to surf. I grew up skateboarding. Those worlds to me are like the aesthetic of it is just like really raw and real. And I'm really attracted to that vibe and that feeling. I think that's why like I gravitate towards VBFC as well, because it is that in the form of football. And the way I am is like I'm constantly trying to learn new stuff and absorb new information and see what's going on in a different like creative field and just kind of, you know, stay like up to date with everything and just keep learning and seeing like what people are doing and stuff. And I mean, it's all like really exciting. I don't think there's really any sort of like, you should never like box yourself up to one thing unless it's like all you really want to do. So yeah, football isn't, it's not the end or anything, but it's, yeah, it's a big part of who I am. So I'm happy to keep working in it. And I'm also happy to like find something else too.
What took you into design in the first place? Like going way back into your degree, like what were the influences and I guess inspiration behind getting that behind you?
Growing up, I was always like, my mom always had me drawing and stuff. And like, as soon as I started doing that, like I was pretty like natural at just like drawing stuff. And like I loved art. I love my art class. And so I knew I had that talent. And then I was like, man, it would be so cool to do this for like a job. And I knew like you couldn't be like at the time I was like, oh, you can't just be like an artist and make it and like have like a good living. But like if you're a graphic designer, you can like work in like really cool brands and companies and all that. So I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I went into, USC for soccer, but I knew I wanted to graphic design. So I started like going to the art school and I walked down the hall and it's like super artsy fartsy, like, you know, like the classic, naked model, like drawings everywhere and like film school, like kids. And like, I wasn't like super into it. And then like, I saw this one door that just had a bunch of sick stickers all over it, like cool stickers, like skate stickers, like graffiti and like cool illustrations. And I was like, I need to talk to this guy. So I went like, I actually ended up meeting that professor. His name was Marius Valdez, and I'm still in contact with him today, and he's like really awesome. And I was like, as soon as I met him, I was like, yeah, this is it. Like he just like, he makes illustrations of like animals and stuff, and it's like super like cartoony and cool and fun. And I was just like, yeah, like this is what I want to do. And then from there, like you just like, you learn all like the classic graphic design stuff. So I fell in love with it even more after that. I love to like study, like when I was in school, like I studied like a bunch of like the classics, you know, like Massimo Vignelli and Saul Bass, Paul Rand, Paula Scherer, like all that was like super inspiring to me. And I wanted to go work in New York City after that and like be in a design firm somewhere and like be very disciplined at it. And I think I still carry a lot of those principles now. But it's like, of course, you know, the landscape changes and everything. So you just got to change too.
Yeah. You got to keep your finger on the pulse, I guess. Have you stopped at all in the last few years to kind of look at how your passion for design has indirectly kept you in football when playing couldn't do that? So it's like you're almost meant to be involved in the game in some way, and it's your early passion of art that made it happen.
That's really nice of you to like put it that way. And yeah, I haven't really thought of it like that, and that's definitely a cool thing to reflect on. It's really cool, and I think it's just I'm really passion led. Like if it's something that I'm not passionate about, I really don't want to do it. Like I struggle. Like I've had jobs where it was for like video games and stuff. We're making like working on different video games, in particular like Call of Duty, and I just had like this strong feeling against that game because it was like essentially promoting warfare around the world. As fun as it is, like I would play with my friends and stuff, and it's like a great time, but like the aggression that it kind of pulls out of you, like your like inner like being, it's like, I don't want that energy. So like I couldn't work there anymore. And it was just like, I wasn't passionate about it. And I was actually kind of passionately against it. So I like, I left. And I think those are the types of things, like, that's why like football has kind of still stuck with me through all of this, is like, it was me to the very core of like who I am, like from the start. So, and then design was like kind of like the one right behind it. So I guess it just makes sense, like, that I'm, you know, I am where I am, and I, like, I'm not like, like, you know, I'm excited about it. Like, I'm happy that the way that everything is gone. So
stitching it back is probably inevitable that you've ended up doing what you do.
Yeah, for sure.
What are you doing for a kickabout in Portland? Have you found something similar?
There's nothing similar, but there's a lot of football here. When I came here, they're like, yeah, it's called Soccer City. And I was like, that's pretty cheesy, but like, all right. And like, I found out like everyone's playing soccer here. Like, you can find a lot of different places to play. Yeah, like when I first got here, it was on like Nike's like Just Do It Day. And this guy came up to me, he was like, he like recruited me. He's like, oh yeah, like I had gone to like a couple pickup games, and like just like randomly. And you know, I'm pretty good, so like scored a handful of goals and stuff. And then like, then on this day, like, this guy comes up to me, he's like, yo, like, yeah, you want to come like play for us and stuff? It's 11 aside. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I ended up being on this team, and my friend back in Venice Beach, who worked at Nike LA, he was on a team called Swoosh FC. And I told him, I was like, yeah, like, I just jumped on this team. And he was like, no, he's like, that's the wrong team, bro. And I was just like, oh man. So I joined the wrong team, and I started playing with these guys. But they were all great dudes. Like, you know, I got to play with them. I met a handful of people who I would have never met who if I had joined the other team. So it was just like really cool. Still, like, and it was a good team. Men's league, I would say 11 aside, I'm like ready to give that up. Like, I'm so okay with that. Like, I don't want the injuries. Like, like some of those guys, they take it so serious, and I'm just like not there with it anymore. Like, I'll go, and if it's a good game, like it's competitive, like, you know, you kind of like put a little bit more into it. But now I'm just like, dude, my knees are doing the knee thing that happens to everyone when they get older. Like they're not working the same. Yeah, like I'm just all achy and stuff. I'm like, dude, I picked up surfing when I was in LA, and I started doing it here, and I'm like, dude, this is for me. Low impact, you know, like. So I'm just like, yeah, 11 aside, it's probably gonna be my last time doing it this year. But there's still lots of places to play. Like, you can play pickup anywhere pretty much.
It's a massive scene over there. The pickup is like, it's a really big thing over there. Like, it's pretty impressive. Like, ours is much more structured.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, so when I was in London, it was like pretty hard to find pickup game, or you had to pay or something.
Like, yeah, we've really kind of monetized that element of it and made it far more serious than it needs to be, I think, which is a shame. Like, so that's why, that, yes, it's distinctly American that you, what you've got. Like, yeah, it's a beautiful thing over there.
Do you feel that that's wrong to like, to just have it monetized, or is it good?
I guess there's just in London, the space to do the kind of pickup thing is harder to come by, maybe. And maybe it's just not in our culture. I don't think, like, you're a kid and you do it, you go over the park and that kind of thing. But then it feels like we leave that behind and go into anything that's much more organized, you know. And then we have Power League or Goals, and like they're the two main ones. And yeah, like you say, the whole team pays for an hour versus another team as league set up, so you can just play with mates. But yeah, you have to hire the pitch for, you know, like £150 for an hour or something like that, and then there's someone waiting to come on straight away. So yeah, I guess like we lose a bit. Maybe it's just part of like we lose the fun of comes with growing up. Back to what we said earlier on about the purity of it, maybe we lose a bit of that here. And yeah, maybe over there where you are, you've kept that.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's really interesting because for me, like English football, the Premier League, that's what I like wanted to be part of like my whole life. I was like, dude, this is where like all the great football is at. And I always wish that we had that in the States, because I couldn't just like, you couldn't just, you know, go down the street and like watch a game, you know? So I made sure I did that when I was there. After our project on the World Cup, I stayed in London for like another like week or so. And luckily, one of my best friends, who was one of our teammates at USC, was living in London with his wife. And I stayed with him. And dude, we went to 6 games in 6 days. It was epic. It was like I got like everything that I had missed for years and just like crammed it into a whole week. It was the best schedule like I've ever like we've ever put together. It was like we would wake up probably like we'd sleep in probably till like 10, and then we'd go down to the cafe. It was eggs Benedict, coffee, orange juice, water, just to fuel up for the day. You know, have a drink or something. Then we hit the tube. Then we'd go to whatever game we were trying to go to, and we would just like find tickets. And we just like, and then once we got in, it was like pint, watch the game, halftime, pint, finish the second half. And then after that, we just go to a pub. And it was the best experience ever. Like we were running all over the place. Like sometimes we watched 2 games in 1 day. And it was sick. Like I loved it so much because it's so like real. Like you guys love your teams, and I think I listened to one of your other podcasts, and I don't want to get this wrong, but you're a West Ham guy.
Yeah.
We had a sick night in West Ham, dude. It wasn't the best result for them.
It rarely is, man. But it really is the best result for West Ham.
Dude, it was so funny, man. Like, just like you got like grandmas like talking shit like behind you and stuff, and it's just like, dude, it was so fun. And then afterwards we like went to a different couple places and like met some locals, and as an American, like you stick out so much. Like when you ask for water, like the bartender's like, what the fuck is that, dude? But we met a bunch of different guys and like talked to them, and they were all like telling us the history of West Ham and versus Millwall and all this stuff, and like how far deep it goes. And we were like, whoa, dude, this is crazy. Like it's so much deeper in Europe, but like especially like in like London and England, and like it was special for sure. It was really cool. I want to go back and just kind of like dive back into that, because it was a great time.
Yeah, you've probably barely scratched the surface. There's so many of those narratives throughout the country. I mean, yeah, like we have rivalries, every club has them, and sometimes you don't even know why. You just grow up knowing that you hate another team. And it's completely irrational.
Yeah,
no idea why, until you and then you learn why, and you're like, okay, yeah, that was ages ago though. Why don't I like them? That happened in 1960. Yeah.
It wasn't my problem, but
yeah. But you just inherit it, and before you know it, you're like, you know, it's just in you. Then it's a part of you. You kind of comes with a territory. It's really it gets quite tribal.
Definitely, I definitely sense that.
Wait, so you're wrapping up at Nike, and you're going to see how things go in Portland. Where do you want it to go, or are you just happy to see how it goes?
I would love to somehow get back down to LA in Venice. It's just fun, man. But still, I'm here with my girlfriend, and she's got a really cool job at the Blazers, and we're gonna see that season through. Right now, just kind of scoping things out, seeing what I really want to do next. And I'm lucky, I can take just a little bit of downtime to kind of reflect and just navigate that. Yeah. I mean, would love to be back in LA. Who wouldn't? But yeah, I mean, we'll definitely I always do just make the most of where I'm at. There's a lot of great things here. So still just looking forward to whatever comes my way.
Yeah, it's that sounds like a pretty measured approach to it. No doubt if something comes up that might seem a little bit risky to someone else, you'll just say, yeah, sure, and book a plane ticket and go and do it.
Yeah. I mean, I have to still weigh things out and everything. And but for the most part, I'm still inspired to go where the work that inspires me is at. And if it's back in LA, if it's here, if it's in Europe somewhere, that'd be cool. I'm open to a lot of things, pretty adventurous when it comes to just going somewhere to experience new work and new life. So
that's when the opportunities come, isn't it? When you're open to them, because they are everywhere. It's just, if you're shut off to it, you don't see them. And I guess that's what's taken you from South Carolina to LA to Portland in the first place, just being open to those opportunities. Mate, it's quite the story. Really enjoyed hearing Devon's role in that and how he's busy behind the scenes getting his boys over to the West Coast. Hardly surprised to hear that his girlfriend had a role in getting you up to Portland as well. It sounds like they've both got their fingers in the pies, just working for their team. That's nice. But yeah, it's really, really interesting to hear that trajectory. Definitely has the kind of only in America vibe to it. Fascinating stuff, mate. And it's just inspiring the way you just grab it all with two hands, in seemingly unfazed and just let's do it. So good on you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Mate, thanks again for the time today. Really good to meet you. Great to learn about your journey, and really excited to see where it goes next. Probably won't see it on social media.
No, I mean, I'm on social media. Y'all probably see me soon. I have so much work, and the nature of it is you can't really share anything until it's out. So, and it comes out 6 months later.
And you've forgotten about it by the time it comes out. Oh yeah, I remember working on this. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's oh, what is this thing? Nah, man, you'll see me back on there. You'll see me back on there. I'm still on it. It's not a big poster. I'm more of a stories guy,
Yeah, mate, that's where it's the algorithms, it's killing me. Mate, I'll leave you to your day. Thanks again, mate.
Thanks a lot. Thanks so much. Yeah, this has been great.
If the stars align, either see you here or see you on the concrete in Venice. Who knows?
Sounds great.
Take it easy, mate.
Cool. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you haven't already, I'd love you to hit the follow button and forward it on to a friend. You can also find us on social media via @NPLHMag and subscribe to our weekly newsletter via nplhmag.com. See you next time. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to hit the follow button, and I'll see you next time.